I'm on a gravel road to grateful rejoicing. There, how's things in Wisconsin?
They're just snowy and cold. And
yeah, I heard you had a lot of snow.
We had a huge dump of snow, and I carved our house out of it. And then the next day, the temperature dropped by 35 degrees.
Oh, really? So yeah. Everything's turned slushy.
No, dropped. Didn't go up.
Oh, dropped. Down. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, everything is hard and powdery and terrifying.
a friend of mine who lives in Oregon, he's a bigger guy than I am. And he was out walking on his, walked into his driveway and back on snow. And he filmed it because he didn't dent the snow at all. So that's really thick ice.
Yeah. Yep.
I got a question for you. What is your favorite scripture taken out of context?
I will say, in our defense, we record at like 5:30 in the morning. So both of us are a little tired. And if we forget that we're on a pod, just bear with us,
Bear with us, yes.
Yeah. So my favorite scripture taken out of context is God helps those who help themselves, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Which is not scripture.
It's a scriptural phrase.
Yeah. I was at a conference back in my chaplain days with people of every sort of stripe of faith, and definitely the wide spectrum of those who identify as Christian. And I brought up, Jesus saying he is the truth, way, the truth, and the life. And for apparently that's controversial. And I was like, whoa, okay. And somebody sort of took the mic and was like, calm down, everyone. And she said, scripture does say that. It also says God helps those who help themselves. I was like, wow.
excuse me. can I make just a little point here?
Yes, no, Ben Franklin did say that, but he also said, Anyway, I'm sorry. That's absolutely beside the point.
That's funny. But it is. People take scriptures out of context, or they make up a scripture and throw it out of context.
Yeah, they take.
God should have said this after all. One of my favorites, admittedly, I've used this many times, is Philippians 4, verse 3. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I used to say that. I can do this because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, as I'm out building something. And it's like, it's nothing to do with that at all. Because here we have a passage of scripture where Paul's talking about coping with life, or in particular, the trials of ministry. Mm. He talks about doing with very little, doing with a lot, being well fed, being hungry, having plenty, being in need. His point is that life isn't about these things. It's about relationship with Jesus, who sustains him regardless of life's circumstances. So I can do all things through Christ who sustains and strengthens me in my ministry, in my life. That's the thing. But I want to share another one with you that I find fascinating, because I've had this quoted to me so many times. And this is in Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Mm. And the context this is presented to me is, man, we serve a limitless God, so ask whatever you need or whatever you want. And he says, this God can do immeasurably more than anything you could ask or imagine. But the problem, Josh, I have a great imagination. So I got all kinds of things that I could ask for. it could be money. It could be power.
Swimming pools full of scotch.
Well, let's get a little bit. Okay, say I'm going to be a good Christian, so I'm going to ask for more righteousness than I can imagine. How's about that?
Yes.
Therefore, therefore, that would be something he'd obviously want to grant me because he can do immeasurably more.
Yes.
Than anything.
Anything.
Anyway, this is not what this is about. Asking what we could imagine. Paul has a much bigger thought of mine here. These two verses, Josh, are part of a prayer, and they are at the end of the book of Ephesians. And man, we could do all, or Philippians, we could do all kinds of podcasts on aspects of Philippians. But his point here is Paul is talking about, he's praying about unity. And Philippians, that's kind of the theme of Philippians, is the unity, looking at people differently and seeing that God is bigger than we are and that he has a love for far more people than we imagine. And he says in verse 14, he says, "For this reason," this is the beginning of the prayer, "I bow my knees before the Father." For what reason? Verse 9 and 10, "to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places." So this is a prayer about and for spiritual strength. It's asking God, keep me grounded in where I'm going. Keep me grounded in who I'm looking at. Keep me looking at you so that, as it says, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend God's love, a love that surpasses knowledge. This is all part of that prayer. Mm. So it's talking about keeping ourselves grounded in Christ.
And this is him writing to Ephesus, the Ephesian church, and you think of, like, Ephesus was dominated by the Temple of Diana.
Yes.
And they would have been, you know, this building that was, you know, sort of, I mean, by all intents and purposes, like the size of the Pentagon. And it would have, you know, cast a shadow that was miles long, and it cast a shadow culturally very strongly. So you could smell the incense, you could hear the music, you could see the, you know, inebriated dancers and the temple prostitutes, and that would all be, you know, part of something they just, like, passed on their way to the store.
Yeah.
And so yeah. Paul is reorienting them to the God they serve, who is over all, not just another one of these gods on the shelf.
It's fascinating because even the book begins with one of the most powerful reminders, I would say, of who we are in Christ. You know, and it's fascinating because it's kind of all one long sentence. And, and you know, how Paul is talking about we are in heavenly places and we've been adopted and so forth. And then it goes through and it talks about how we were chosen before the foundation of the earth. It talks about how we were forgiven before the foundation. I mean, it's talking about this incredible God that we serve. It's reminding us that he is the one who's made all of this possible. And, you know, like you said, it's not anything to do with your local gods. Your gods can't do anything. You can have the biggest temple in the world, but it means nothing. This is a God who takes care of us. And it's interesting because this prayer kind of sums everything up. And I erroneously said Philippians earlier because I was looking at my notes here, and that was the first scripture I quoted, but it is in Ephesians.
No harm, no foul.
And in the morning, we don't care.
Yeah.
And, but here's the thing. This last two verses that is often misquoted or taken out of context is called a doxology, which is a formal praise to God. Mm. So think about that as you read it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. It's an acknowledgement who God is, that God is able to achieve much more than we could ever desire or dream. And it goes back in particular to loving others. And you know, as well as I do, that, well, I shouldn't say this, Josh, because you are better than I am. I have trouble loving some people.
I've heard of that problem, yes.
Yes, I'm sure you have. and I would say I have had in the past. I think God has taught me a lot over the years, but it is. Sometimes your first reaction or response to somebody is not love, is it? It's something else, usually judgment. But the whole point here is that God is able to achieve in us the ability to love others. And I think in to the Corinthians, Paul says, Christ's love in you compels you, which I love that phrase, you know, compels us. But anyway, the outcome of this prayer has nothing to do with us, has nothing to do with our influence, but it has everything to do with the one we're praying to. He's the one that we can ask and or imagine how he can impact the life of someone we love. So rather than look at this as a request that God do more, I think we should look at this as a words of worship. You know, we love you, Lord, because you have and continue to do immeasurably more than anything I could ask or imagine for me, for those I love, and more specifically, for those you love. So these are words of praise.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.